my thanks to Standard & Poor's for their decision through McGraw-Hill to publish the results of a worldwide survey, which really, in simple terms, they decided to ask people, what do you know or not know about financial literacy? And then they compared what they found out from 143 countries. We ended up about 14th on the list of that 143 countries. And the percentages of adults who are literate, who can read or write, was 57% compared to other places that were not. Tally, Dr. Lusardi used an analogy here that kind of caught your ear, did it not?
Yeah, it was about driving versus financial literacy. And we don't really give young people the same tools to deal with debt and other financial ideas that we do before we put them behind the wheel of a car. I was wondering if Dr. Lusardi thinks with more access to financial markets, with bank accounts going to younger and younger people, with more credit instruments, is it getting more difficult to navigate the financial world?
I think so. This financial instrument can be very complex. And one of the things which is important is that there is risk in every financial instrument. There is risk in cash, right? If you keep cash under the mattress, you know, you are facing an inflation risk. So, you know, as we want to improve access to finance, which is so important, in particularly in, you know, in newer countries, developing countries, I think, you know, we need to equip the people with the skills that they need to manage this new financial instrument, to really take full advantage, for example, of this financial instrument. And we see this in the data as well, that is the people, for example, who know more about interest compounding, that they use their accounts actually to put their saving in. So, you know, we want to give people access to this financial instrument, but we want them to have the skills to best use them for their own needs.
With more countries developing access to financial instruments, is it creating a dangerous situation? Because cars have become easier to drive, but this seems to be getting more difficult. Is it a dangerous situation, you'd say?
It's a great question. I think it's a dangerous situation if we don't improve financial literacy. You know, we can't, I think, providing access without providing as well the capacity and the skills to use this complex asset, I think, could be dangerous. You know, and we also, which also means we need to simplify as well those financial instruments in the same way in which we have made the car much safer and much easier to use.
I'll ask you both, Tally and Anna, this question, because the audience says, okay, we've got a survey that tells us where we are. We now know how we stack up. But the question then becomes, what do I do? All right, you've informed me I should be financially literate. You've let me know where I stand in the world through this survey, thanks to McGraw and to Standard & Poor's. So now, as an individual, as a parent, you know, or as a young student, what do I do? What do I do now?
It's a hard question, but one of the things I really want to emphasize is that, you know, it's time to put this into the schools. You know, we cannot, you know, in a sense, have people taking up all of these student loans without having them at least some basic financial literacy. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to empower the people to live in this global economy, to, you know, deal with this much more complex financial market, to deal with this, you know, higher individual responsibility for this financial decision. You know, financial literacy also allows people to achieve their dreams. And, you know, it's becoming harder to achieve those dreams, and we need to equip them.
And I know that you and Tally both appreciate teachers, so I'm going to say this, and it's not picking on the teachers at all. But my question is, do we need to do a much better job in terms of teaching financial literacy in our schools? Is that the key to this, Tally? Is that the key to this, Anna?
I think there is certainly we need well-trained teachers, and I think there are academic research that shows that in the state that use a regular curriculum and that train the teachers, actually the student not just do better in financial literacy, but also do better in their financial behavior, in particular financial behavior toward debt. You know, so clearly, and you're absolutely right, that we need to also train the teacher. This is a new topic. You know, often people haven't had it before. Right. And so if we put it in the school, we need to make sure that, as in every other topic, you know, the teachers are really well equipped and they have the curriculum and the standards and all of the knowledge to really transfer it to the students.
I'd like to give a shout out right now to PricewaterhouseCoopers, because they have, this is a worldwide company, they agree, and they are spending a great deal of their money and resource in changing teachers and teaching teachers. Teachers have admitted, I don't feel comfortable because I never learned these things. You know, I'm just not. So they're training teachers, and they're saying the results are apparent, Tali, that a teacher, trained teacher, can do mean a lot more and feel more comfortable if they understand what they're teaching in this case.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, they is so impressive what they have done. And now we see really firms stepping up. You know, we see firms having a vision for the future, because financial literacy is inherently about the future. And I think really realizing how important it is for them as well to contribute and take up some of these challenges.
Tali, are we asking the best and the brightest, that is to say young companies, whether it be Pricewater, are we asking them to do their part, or is the government and our local government simply ignoring the people that could make a difference in terms of teaching?
Well, it needs to be a nationwide and top-to-bottom thing. What stands out to me in the survey is that it could be about economic, certainly educational inequality. If you go online, mhfi.com, check out the survey. The scary thing is they're not difficult questions. These questions are questions I think the people I went to school with, high school, university, I hope most of them could answer these questions. But the scary thing is that the people who can't answer the questions are probably those most at risk from suffering from lack of financial literacy.
All right.
So, yeah, it has to be the companies, but, you know, how deep is the reach of the companies? At some point, yeah, I think it has to be a federal thing.
All right. Thank you, Bones. Thank you. And when I come back, I want to that's a very important thing that he's pointed out. We'll talk more about that. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we are very pleased to be talking about this global financial literacy survey, and I hope it's making you feel like, hey, I can do better, and I will. We'll be right back. We're talking about the Global Financial Literacy Survey that is now available to you. You can go online and see where we stand. 57% of you are literate. The other 43% are not. We are 14th out of 143 companies. Find out who is at the top and who is at the bottom. My guest, Tali Berry, joining us from Bangkok, Thailand, where he is teaching, among other things, the language and also the importance of financial literacy. And here in the studio with us, the director of the Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center at George Washington University. Anna Maria Lusardi is a rock star. She is leading the effort nationwide to make sure that we all become more financially literate. Tali talked about a survey. That kind of rang a bell with you, did it not?
Yes, very much. And I think he also talked about the fact that when you look at those who have the lowest level of financial literacy, these are people with the lower income, lower education. So these are vulnerable groups already. And that's why when we talk about, you know, improving financial literacy, it has to be a very big effort that, you know, includes firms, corporation, but also school and the government. And I have to say, also the individual. I just feel that now, you know, this is becoming so important that our suggestion is everybody should ask for financial literacy. Parents should ask for financial literacy in the schools. We also need to take initiatives. You know, we can't just stay there like hoping that financial literacy will be provided to us, you know, in the school or in the workplace. We also need to be proactive and demanded.
And if you have any doubt about it, folks, I just ask you to review your experience in school. How much did you really learn about how our economy works, about what interest rates are, about the stock market, about all the things that you could be participating in if you know about them? But Tali, if you don't know about these things, if you've not learned about them, you're not likely to be involved, are you?
No, and you're not likely to pass it on to the next generation either.
Well, and I think that speaks volumes about the importance of what we just mentioned a few minutes ago, folks, about companies, major companies in the here we have academia saying, okay, this is important. Here we have PricewaterhouseCoopers, a major company, donating a tremendous amount of money to financial literacy. They get it, and I think a lot of other companies would too if they were asked to do it. And I think that ask is going to have to come from academics, and it's going to have to come from families, from you and me, demanding that our children be taught the very best of finance. I mean, that's where it's going to have to come. We're going to say, look, I want my kid to know a heck of a lot more than I ever knew, okay, in school. When they come out, they have their diploma, they have their driver's license, and they have a full-fledged knowledge of how our system really works.
Well, Paul, when it comes to financial literacy, we really need a revolution. So a month ago in Beijing, China, we launched a financial literacy manifesto. And this manifesto is about the fact that everybody in every country now needs financial literacy. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that this is provided and everybody has access to that. And to make it more real, to make it more practical, what we have also done, we have created and engaged an international federation of finance museum. You know, places where people can go to learn about financial literacy in a fun way, like listening to your show. And so these finance museums around the world have come together and have committed to really improve financial literacy in the countries where they are in, mm-hmm. and to make sure that we can provide that access to everybody. So we really need to step up the effort for financial literacy.
And there's so many different ways to do it. What you're saying is that we've got to be creative in terms of getting, you know, when you say financial, when I started doing the show, people said, what's your show about financial literacy? Their eyes glaze over. And I said, don't do that. Be involved. Learn what this is about. It's exciting because it opens up the doors for you to do a lot more than you're doing. So, you know, get involved and understand it. And I think surveys like this are so important because it really kind of provokes us. And I'm going to ask both of this question. What surprised you the most or disappointed you the most or didn't? Tally, I know you know what the survey showed. What were you most, excited about or not excited about from the survey, the results of the survey?
Well, you know how important education is to me. One statistic that stood out was that the gap in financial literacy between those with a secondary high school education and those with a college education in America is 28%. And there's no other advanced economy that comes close to that. So clearly those at the top of the ladder are getting at least some of the skills they want, but those who aren't are falling behind. So that gap stood out to me.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's actually a very important one. Two things stood out to me, but I want to, in a sense, pick up on what Tali said, which is if you look at the young, very interestingly, in the kind of advanced economy, we see an inverted U shape, meaning, you know, the young don't know as much, and then the older population knows more. In the developing countries, what we see instead is the young, which have the highest amount of knowledge. It is still lower than the advanced economy, but they are the ones doing better. And this provides me some hope, you know, that the young perhaps are now finding new ways to learn, and perhaps some countries are also investing in the young, and we should really do so. And that kind of contrast is quite interesting.
All right, when we get back, I know there's other things about that survey that you want to talk about, and we'll talk about that because it's important. We are in a global economy. That's the truth of it, and we've got to operate from that point of view. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be back more with Anna Maria Lusardi and Tally Berry from Bangkok, Thailand. We're talking about financial literacy around the world thanks to a Standard & Poor's rating service Global Financial Literacy Survey. And we thank them. We applaud them for doing what they've done in terms of getting this information in readable, understandable form and available to you. This is all available to people if they want to go online and they can understand that. And we're talking about this survey and what's good and what's bad, or at least what has stood out more to you. What stands out more to you? Go ahead.
I want to talk about another striking finding of this survey, which is that in almost every country around the world, we see a gender gap in financial literacy, meaning men know more than women. But, Paul, there is actually an interesting finding in that in those survey, which is that it's not that women are more likely to answer incorrectly to the financial literacy question. They are more likely to say, I do not know. And this is true in so many countries. But, hey, women do not know, but they know they do not know.
Yes.
So they might be the ideal people to make financial decisions.
To learn more and quickly.
And to learn more and quickly.
They accept it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they're willing to do that. To both of you, I guess the question, we can't possibly get everything in. I do want to emphasize again the importance, I think, of companies worldwide, not just here, saying, look, we're going to support higher education, better education, educating the if you can't teach if you don't know, so that the teachers have to be taught. I think those, from my point of view, are so important. From your point of view?
Absolutely. And, you know, if they help the school, if they have the teacher, they are going to have a better labor force, right? A labor force which has better skills to work better, to participate better in the, you know, in the market, to make better financial decisions. We all benefit from that, the employer as well. So I think, you know, it's important to have this effort coming from all of the parties.
And Bones, you mentioned a website where people could go and do their survey of themselves. Please, that's important. Tell us where they should go for that.
The results are at the website of McGraw-Hill Financial Incorporated. That's MHFI.com. So go on there. You can take the survey yourself, just a short five-question survey. See if you're financially literate. Check out some of the key findings from the report, and you can also download the whole report and read more into the data.
Okay. All right. You pushed for us to talk about this. Have we covered what you think is important for our audience to hear?
Well, this is what we always focus on. So this is one of the most exciting shows of the year, when we get to actually discuss whether there's been a change, or how we're doing as a country and as a world on financial literacy. And so I'm excited with what we've been able to cover. I'm a little bit, maybe a bit disappointed with some of the results. We're clearly trailing some countries, and the gaps are stunning. The gap between men and women is larger in the U.S. than it is in other places. So there's work to be done, but I'm glad we get a chance to talk about it.
And Anna, what about you? I mean, were you encouraged or discouraged by the results of the study?
Both. In a sense, you know, the results really tell us that we need to step up the effort. So I think it's important to see the results so we can actually do and do better. And I just want to end, you know, by citing a statement that actually a Chinese student said in one article. And he says, you know, I'm really interested in finance because, and in financial literacy, because I want to do better in the future. And I think this summarizes what financial literacy is about. And, you know, this is the end of the year. You know, often we do, you know, some thinking about, you know, how the year has gone. And to understand how we are doing, we need to do a checkup. And so I want to echo what Tali said, which is, you know, take the test so you see how you are doing. And if you are not doing well in the new year, what else can you do so you can do better in the future?
Well, it's so well said, Anna Maria Losardi. We appreciate your push in so many different ways. The Global Financial Literacy Excellence Center at George Washington. How do we reach out to you there?
Yeah, so we have a website as well. It's www.gflac.org. We actually have a page dedicated to these surveys. I explained this in a short video. We have some of the results, and you also have the questions. So please visit that website as well.
Tali Berry, thank you so much for joining us from Thailand. You've
My
made
pleasure.
A difference. It's a pleasure. Anna Maria, it's always nice. Please promise to come back and talk more about this, would you?
I will, absolutely. Right. And happy holiday to everybody.
And I echo that same thing to all of you. However you celebrate the holiday season, do so. Be safe, be kind, and be financially literate. This is Paul Berry.